In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, first of all, I want to thank everyone for their prayers. The praying in the divine will, praying the command prayer, is very, very powerful. Miracles are happening, and God is good. He's got great plans, and if we can really focus on this great gift of the divine will, sooner than we can imagine, great things are going to happen worldwide. So where we're starting tonight is volume 23, but I want to go back to, and this is on page 83, volume 20, 11, 6, 1926. And Jesus says this as a small little, sentence. And once I have completed everything, Jesus says, and this is what I'm talking about, what's coming. He says, I will entrust my kingdom to my priests so that like second apostles of the kingdom of my divine will, they may be criers of it. They may be proclaimers of this great gift. And, see, everything has to go back to this universal life, this Catholic life. And that's the thing that's so astonishing, that God is going to entrust his kingdom to his priests. And I know there's a lot of people who are proclaiming the divine will, teaching the divine will, and they're not priests. And they don't understand, but basically what they're doing is Protestantizing this sacrament of sacraments. It is, Jesus says, the divine will is the sacrament of sacraments. And he has to have his priests do this. And I know there's some great souls out there who hear this, but they just ignore it. And we got to pray for priests to embrace this gift. It's their role. It's their job. I was talking to someone the other day, and he said, we're all part of the priesthood. You're the ministerial priest. We're the royal priesthood. We are baptized priests, prophets, and kings. And I said, yes. I said, but you're a sheep. You're not a shepherd. And that's very important to understand. It's the blind can't lead the blind. And again, lay people are better speakers than priests. But the ontological change that happens at ordination is where the Holy Spirit, when the priest speaks, especially like a homily, a teaching, God is working. And that's something that, you know, I've seen over and over and over again, how God works so powerfully in the priesthood. And you have to hear, when I have completed everything, Jesus says, I will entrust my kingdom to my priests so that like second apostles, the kingdom of my divine will, they will be the proclaimers of it. So that's one of the things that we have to remember. And this is exactly what Archbishop Pucheri said to us when he says, he doesn't want the books, published. He says, but the books can be given to the prayer groups, you know, so that by the guidance of a priest, the people can understand the divine will. And that's what he said. So if you have the writings, he said, make sure you have a priest that will help you when there's difficulties with the theological understandings. So now we begin. Volume 23, 1:18, 1928. I enjoy, Jesus says, in seeing the interest that priests take in these writings. So again, when you help your priest with this great gift, when you help your priest with the books, like for example, talk to them. I mean, you've got time before Christmas about the 9 excesses of love, and you can present this. You can say very clearly to your priest in your parish, can we, during the 9 days before Christmas, can we present to the parish these 9 excesses of love? And St. Honorable de Francia says that to enter into this gift is we are so blessed. God is helping us understand how much love he has for humanity in these 9 days before Christmas. And so, you know, as you're getting ready for Christmas, have this ready for your priest, for your parish. If you could put it in the bulletin, you know, Archbishop Piccieri said that if you go against the teachings, if you go against the divine will, he says, you're not following the church. He says very clearly that these have been approved by the diocese. The investigation of the diocese has said that Louisa should be canonized. That I was really surprised when he said that. He didn't say beatified. He says she should be canonized. And that's what is going to happen for the church is this great understanding of this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. So, for get ready for Lent. You know, ask your pastor, can we present the 24 hours of the Passion during Lent for those who would like it? You know, you could copy this or print this up for your people who will be willing to spend that 40 days praying over and over and over, well, really a time and a half, this great gift of the 24 hours of the Passion. This is something that as you do this, like Jesus says, when those writings are read in a parish, the chastisement will have a lesser effect in that area. God will protect that land. Why? Because he teaches Louisa, when we participate in the Passion of the Christ, when we participate in one with Jesus in those last 24 hours of his life, he says, you're beginning to understand how much the Lord loves us, how much God loves humanity. And then for May, you can get ready. You know, can we pray the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, you know, the month of May, for the month of October? Can we, little by little, you're going to see that the liturgical year, Jesus has told Louisa everything about what he has planned. And when the priests get involved in this, the bishops get involved in this, it's really astonishing. I mean, what happened just this past week in Knoxville, Tennessee, the chancellor of the diocese brought the priests together and says, this little Louisa has changed my life. And he's presenting it to the priests, and he says, yeah, there are some difficulties. There is, as Archbishop Piccieri said, there are some knots that need to be untied. He said, but good things are going to come. Great things are going to come through this gift. So he says, Jesus says, I enjoy in seeing the interest that priests take in these writings. And I've seen that. I remember the one priest, he was in his 90s. He came to one of the conferences that we had. His people like said, you got to go to this. And he volunteered to go, but it was sort of like, oh, why am I here? You know? And, you know, after the first talk, you know, he was just like growling, you know, I mean, oh, I got to spend my time with these people. It was really funny. And he showed up the following month for the Day of Recollection, and he was on fire. He says, Jesus is the new Adam. He's 90 years old. Mary is the new Eve. And he goes, how come I never thought of this? How come it never registered with me? And then he was just talking about the divine will as how this is the most important thing to him at that point. Same thing that happened years and years ago. About 30 years ago, I met a 90-year-old priest, and he said, I've been waiting for this all my life. This is what Jesus sees. He enjoys seeing the interest that the priests take in the writings. Why? Because these writings will form the kingdom of my divine will. It forms in the priest, the shepherd, who then, as Louisa says in the three appeals, Louisa says to the priests, you have been giving the people a cold and stale bread, and it's hard to digest. He says, she says, if you give them the divine will, you will be feeding them. They will come back. They'll like full blossom. They will be able to live this abundant life. And that's what she suggests to the priest. Read the divine will and you will hear things that you've never heard before. You will see things that you've never seen before. Why? What's happening? It's the Holy Spirit is revealing to the priests, to the bishops, to the deacons, this new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II prophesied about at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, echoing St. Honorable de Francia's words. So Jesus says, this means that they, the priests, appreciate the great good of them, of the writings. And each one would want to keep such a treasure with himself to be the first to communicate it to others, to his parish, to his flock. When you listen to, what Jesus tells Louisa about the Gospels, when you hear what Jesus explaining to Louisa, why he said what he said, and the priest explains this, it makes complete sense. The priest becomes more aware, the people become more aware of the light, the love, the life that God wants to breathe in humanity. This breath of God, this rule of God, he wants to breathe this in to each and every one of us. So he says, the priests who are interested in the writings appreciate the great good of these writings. And each one of them wants to keep such a great treasure. That's the thing that's so amazing about this gift of the divine will. Each and every one of us, what the divine will does, what I've seen is the soul enters into an awareness of that song, if you want to say, that prayer, that love of God that each of us has. Each one of us has our unique understanding. No one has the understanding that we have. And God is asking us to enter into this gift. So he says to Louisa, he says, I've written in the book of life, the page that you are, that what I, God, have planned for each and every person in the book of life. And it's not, nobody's the same. It's your prayer, I don't know. My prayer, you don't know. It's the personal oneness, entering into this oneness with God, this fusion with God, this love of God that no one else can share, no one else can have. It's that wedding feast that Jesus talks about heaven, this wedding feast that he wants us to live in, is yours alone. The song that we are going to sing in heaven for all eternity. No one knows that. No one knows our words. No one knows, beauty, perfection of love that each and one of us has for God. But together, when we all sing, it's going to be so harmonious. It's going to be so beautiful that, that's what heaven's going to be. It's going to be just being singing in this love song to our God, to participate in this oneness with our God. This is what God has planned. So Jesus says, and this is what the priest, the bishop, the deacon will give to humanity through their homilies. And again, a lay person can give a good talk, but it's not a homily. That it's might be a wonderful talk. It might be a beautiful talk, but it's not they don't have that ontological change that will breathe into a soul, this ruah of God, this breath of God. So while Jesus says, and while the issue of who is going to win lasts, one approaches the other in order to consult one another on what to do. So this priesthood, when the houses of the resurrection of the faith, when this begins, the priests, who is going to win lasts, one approaches the other in order to consult one another and what to do. How do we help humanity? So the conversations in the rectories the conversations in these houses of faith, the resurrection of the faith, are going to be all about entering into this gift. When I was ordained, I remember one parish, one town that I was in, we had 16 priests in that town, and now there's three, and one is part-time. But when I was there, the priest said, "We're not going to talk shop." It was about anything and everything but the faith. And that was so sad. I remember talking to one priest, and I said, "You know, why don't we get into, you know, what God is asking of the church?" And he says, "Let me give you some advice." He says, "Don't call me and I won't call you." And that was real. That was one of my first years as a priest. And what I saw was with this gift of the divine will, I mean, when the priests have this gift of the divine will, they're going to be on fire talking about this, diving into this, because each one is going to be showing, God is going to be showing them, this new and divine way of holiness that another one doesn't have. What one priest has, the other one won't have. What this priest has, the other one won't have. But together, it's going to be like a fire that's burning fiercely. You know, it's just going to be in so intense. I've seen this with priests talking about the divine will today. It's a new and divine way of holiness that's going to come, and it's not going to be, "Let's not talk shop." It's going to be, "Let's talk about this. Let's dive into this." You know, you're going to see, it's going to be a new and divine way of holiness that Jesus says, "I'm going to bring my priesthood to what I wanted it to be from the beginning." That's what he says to Louisa. So he says this, Jesus says, "And I, God, enjoy that more of my priests get to know that there is this treasure that is so great of making known the kingdom of my divine will." See, each person, like, let's just think of that song that God wants us to enter into, our life, our love for God that no one else has. That song is, let's just say, each person is a different instrument. Like angels are different creatures of different species. And it's the same thing now with us, with the priesthood. He's going to bring about a way of praising God, loving God, glorifying God that another priest doesn't have. But both are going to be spectacular because of the priesthood, Jesus says. So that's why he says, "I enjoy that more of my priests get to know that there is this great treasure, so great, of making known the kingdom of my divine will. And I, God, will use this to form the first priests of my coming kingdom, of my fiat." The kingdom is very close. This outpouring of the Holy Spirit is very, very close. And how do we know this? Because Jesus said to Louisa, "What I have given you, this book of heaven, what I have taught you in this book of heaven," he says, "proves that the kingdom is very close." He says, "Because I have kept this hidden," because it's the gift of gifts, it's the prodigy of prodigies. "I've kept this hidden for 6,000 years, and now I'm going to give it to the world, and I'm going to use my priest to bring this about." And this is what's so glorious. "I, God, enjoy that more of my priests get to know that there is this treasure that's so great of making known the kingdom of my divine will. And I, God, will use this to form the first priests of my coming kingdom of my fiat. On this divine faithfulness that is always alive and operative in the church rests the hope of receiving abundant and holy vocations to the priesthood." We haven't seen anything yet. The priesthood is, there's going to be, when I was young, we had three priests in my parish, the pastor and two associates. And we had, I think, 12 nuns teaching at the school. And it was every time we went to mass, there were all the sisters in the front row, the front two rows. And, you know, and the priests, each one would be saying a mass each day. And it was astonishing. It was Catholic. It was magnificent. And that's just a glimpse of what's coming. This is you have to understand this. He says the Jews, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Protestants, the Muslims, the atheists are all going to become Catholic. Why? Because this is the universal life that God breathed into Adam. And he says, get ready for what I'm going to do. Every church, every synagogue, every mosque, every temple will be Catholic. The world is going to begin to live this universal life that God breathed into Adam, and all the children that of Adam were supposed to live this life. And at this point, out of 7 billion, almost 8 billion people, 1 billion are Catholic, and most of the 1 billion are Catholic in name only. What God has got planned is 100%. And as he says to Louisa, we're going to begin to live the universal life that God breathed into Adam. It's not many religions. It's the one faith, one flock, one church, one shepherd. That's what's coming. So it says very clearly, moreover, it has already been proven in many countries that the Lord will not deny his church the necessary light to confront the fascinating adventure of casting the nets into the sea. This life of the priesthood is going to be in every town, in every country, in every aspect of the world. The church responds to the gift of God with acts of thanksgiving, fidelity, docility to the Holy Spirit, and a humble and persevering prayer. What Jesus is teaching in the Book of Heaven, the rounds most especially, is the way Jesus prayed, is the way Mary prayed, those 30 years of silence. What did they do when Jesus went off to the desert, you know, for 40 days, when Jesus went to the mountain alone to pray? What did he do? He prayed the way Adam prayed before the fall, thanking the Father, praising the Father, glorifying the Father for all that the Father had done in creation, and now after Jesus died, in redemption and sanctification. That's what we pray. These three aspects of this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. And when you enter into the round of creation, you begin to see the I love you. You begin to experience the I love yous of all of creation. And When you begin to pray the rounds, this new and divine way of holiness, you are filled with peace, joy, and happiness. You know, like in the fall now, with all the colors, all the flowering, if you want to say, of the trees, it's a way of turning back to God, loving him, praising him, thanking him, blessing him, worshiping him, as Adam did in paradise. And we're practicing this. We're entering into this so that when the kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, it will be paradise. It will be the new heavens. It will be the new earth. It will be the new Jerusalem. We're going to enter into this life that is universal, is Catholic. We're going to enter into this life recognizing the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, recognizing the Blessed Mother as our mother and queen, recognizing little Louisa as the newborn, the firstborn of the divine will. So Jesus, in order to perform his apostolic mission, each priest will bear engraved on his own heart the words of the Lord. Father, I have glorified you on earth and have accomplished the work which you have given me to do to give eternal life to men. This gift of the priesthood is to bring people back to life. Like I've said before, the miracles that are going to come through the priesthood are going to be unheard of prodigies. The miracles that are going to be given to all of humanity is going to be so, if you want to say, eye-opening, that everyone is going to say, what do I need to do to possess this gift of gifts? And the first thing will be baptism in baptized Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the church. That's entering into God's image. And now with the Book of Heaven, learning how to, and again, this is where our free will is. Do we want this gift of gifts? Do we want this prodigy of prodigies, living in the divine will, 30, 60, or 100 fold? How much do we want it? And so God says, I will fill you as much as you want or as little as you want. So our job is to, it's the priest that when Jesus says this to Louisa, or Louisa says this to the priest, you should be reading the Book of Heaven. It will help you bring everyone to the place where God wants them to be as a shepherd leading the sheep. And again, this is so essential. This is so wonderful. Father, I have glorified you on earth. I have accomplished the work that you have given to me to do. And that is to give eternal life to mankind, eternal life to each parish, everybody in the parish, eternal life, to have the souls on fire with the love of God, the praise of God, the glory of God. We have to begin to learn that song that God wants us to sing, learn that instrument that we are called to be, to give glory to God, to praise to God, love to God. So volume 6, 10-29-04, my designs are accomplished only in the one who attaches his works to perseverance. Okay. This design, God's design, are accomplished by those who persevere. What are we persevering in? Okay. It's to know God, love God, and in the divine will, possess God. See, the saints were to know, love, and serve God by doing the will of God. But to live in the will of God is to know, love, and possess God. It's mutual possession. It's the wedding feast. The spouses possess each other 100%. This is what God has planned. This kiss between heaven and earth is very, very close. So my designs are accomplished only in the soul who attaches his works to perseverance. So what of our works? It's to do our acts and our rounds in the divine will. That's what Jesus taught Louisa. And when you read volume 16 to volume 36, Jesus is always saying to Louisa, I want you to do your rounds. I want you to pray your rounds. Again, that's the life of Jesus. That's the life of Mary. That's their prayer life. The new Adam and the new Eve, which they breathed into Louisa. So he says, the designs of God are accomplished of those who persevere in the works, in your acts and your rounds, in everything that you think, say, and do. And it's not a devotional life. It's to begin to live a life that is one with God, fused with God, okay? See, devotional life, like he said, my final devotion that I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. That's the final devotion. We got it 22 years ago. We've now are entering into not a devotional life, but a divine life. Okay. What does that mean? It's what the priest has been praying every day when he puts the drop of water into the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ. Those are the words of Pope, that's the I lost my train of thought. to share in the divinity of Christ is what God is asking of us in putting that drop of water in the chalice. It's not oil and water. It's to be fused and diffused one with God. This new and divine way of holiness of John Paul II. This is what we have to get ready. So he says, perseverance is the seal of eternal life and the development of divine life. So what is the perseverance? What is God asking of us? He's asking us to enter into this life, to learn how to pray the rounds, to begin to see the I love yous, hear the I love yous, smell the I love yous, taste the I love yous of all of creation. And now to begin to see the I love yous of the redemption with Jesus and Mary. Jesus redeemed us. Our Lady was with Jesus on Calvary. Her heart was split in two, like his heart. And Jesus said she would have died without the divine will, but the divine will kept her alive. He said so that she could give this gift to the apostles. And at Pentecost, what do we see? The first Pentecost is the tongues of flame above Our Lady and the apostles. This new and divine way of holiness is very close. And what God is asking of us is, I want you to persevere to what? To enter into this divine life. It's not just about being good and holy and saintly. That's the devotional way. And you can get your devotional prayers done, and you can do what you want. Jesus says, I want you to live my true life, live my mother's true life, the new Adam and the new Eve. So he says to persevere in this seal, the stamp of the eternal life, and to enter into the divine life. Our God has wonderful plans for his children. He's given us the church. He's given us our Blessed Mother. He's given us our dogma and doctrine. He's given us, I mean, when you read the nine excesses of love, he's done everything. At the consecration, when we're at the consecration and the priest holds up the, you know, the bread and the wine, this is a time for us, for all, everybody in the church, to offer to the Heavenly Father. This is what Jesus did to redeem us. This chalice is filled with his blood to overflowing. He died for us so that we would be ready to be redeemed, to redeem us. Why? To be ready to live in the divine will. That's what he tells Luisa. To be divinized. I know some people say it's divinization, and it's powerful. There's a book, The Call to Be Children of God. And if you want to read what the saints have said about this share in divinity, you will be astonished. This is not foreign, but it's basically every 500 years, it comes up and then it's let go of. It comes up and it's let go of. And what Jesus is teaching Luisa, and why I think this book, Called to Be Children of God, is about, is to get us ready to embrace a share in divinity. It's not about just being good and holy and saintly. It's about to share in the divinity of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Why did Jesus and Mary come to earth? To bring the universal life back to humanity, to bring the Catholic life back to humanity, the life that Adam lost. After 4,000 years, they started this. And now with Luisa, what's the reason for Luisa? It's to bring us back to the true life of Jesus and Mary. I know we love the saints. We love devotional life is those who are devout, those who have a devotion, those who have this desire to learn the life, to learn to live the life of love of each and every saint. What Jesus taught Luisa is how he wants us to live. These aren't Luisa's ideas. These aren't Luisa's inspirations that she's giving to us. Jesus dictated this to Luisa. Our Lady dictated this to Luisa, because now is the time to have a life, the life of the new Adam, Jesus, of the new Eve, Mary. It's not about just doing the will of God. And a lot of people, when they're talking about the divine will, are lowering the divine will to a devotional life. And Jesus says this. He says, I am looking for the souls who want the divine will more than anything, more than anything. And then he says, when I find those souls, I will give this to the world, which means he hasn't found anybody yet. Nobody's living the life that God breathed into Luisa. I mean, we're close to it. By close, we're in the ballpark. but To live this is to die to all that you are. So there is nothing left of you but the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. This is what, when we talked to Father Bucci about Louisa, what was she like? He would say more of heaven than of earth. When Padre Pio would talk about Louisa, when people from Corrado would come to see Padre Pio, which was basically an hour away from Corrado, what happened? He would say, go back to Corrado, go back to Louisa. Don't come to me. Go back. It was like he knew. He said, Louisa is a second sun that will give light and life to everyone and everything. So when you see, and as a matter of fact, we just read today in the calendar, Louisa is the second sun. So as the sun goes down in the west, a new sun comes up in the east, no more darkness. Spiritually, you have to see this. What's coming is a new and divine way of holiness, which will basically, when the kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, the evil one has to go. He's been banished from heaven. He will be banished from earth. And that's why Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It might seem like it out there, but it's a new beginning for humanity. And what did he say? She said to Bruno, basically, what's coming is the end of his reign. What's coming is the new era of the kingdom. And again, when he is banished from earth, it's not just earth. It's the universe. He's going to be kicked out. Why? God's children are now going to reign. And so what God is saying to everyone, what do you want? I have to give you what you want. And so when we want what Jesus wants us to have, as he talks to us about this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, God goes, good, this is what I want to give you. So he says this, he says in volume 19, 615, 1926, and since my will wants to establish its kingdom in the midst of humanity, in the midst of peoples, through you to Louisa, I, God, want to deposit this celestial doctrine in my priests. So what's the role of Louisa? It's as Our Lady's role was to go through the passion of Christ with Jesus, to be with the apostles at this first Pentecost. Louisa's job is to go through. She was crucified every day. Go through this crucifixion. Every day, Jesus said, I crucify you, Louisa. So every day she went through this crucifixion. Why? To get us ready for this second Pentecost that's coming. We haven't seen anything yet. So the first Pentecost is the fruit, the strawberries, the asparagus, the rhubarb, you know, wow, food is growing again. The winter is over. That was the first 4,000 years. Now, these last 2,000 years of the saints doing the will of God, it's now the fruit. It's the harvest time. The fruit is here. The vegetables are here. And it's overflowing. That's what's coming to the Holy Church. Through you, Louisa, I, God, want to deposit the celestial doctrine, the doctrine of the divine will, in my priests as my new apostles. So that first I may form with them the link of connection with my most holy divine will. And then the priests may transmit it into the midst of the peoples. It's very clear. It's very clear how God wants this done. And I believe with my whole heart, mind, and soul, that if this isn't done the way Christ has asked, I wouldn't want to be standing in his way in any way, shape, or form. So this is it. For this, the priest will dedicate his own life to his brothers, living a sign of supernatural charity in obedience and in celibate chastity with simplicity and with respect for discipline in the communion of the Holy Church. Everything is planned. Everything is ready. Father Bucci was the, he was the, what was his title? He was the one who proved the faith of Luisa. And he says, Luisa was always in the church. Luisa was never separated from the church. Luisa was always, read Father Bucci's book on this. It's astonishing. There was always a bishop who was always superior to Luisa directing her. And even when the bishop said to Luisa, to those, do not go to Luisa's house anymore. The new bishop said this. And he had a stroke. And 2 weeks later, they bring him to the association where the association is. You know, he hobbles up the stairs. You know, he's paralyzed. You know, they're carrying him up, basically. He gets into Luisa's room, and Luisa says, he says, Your Excellency, will you bless me? He raises his hand that was paralyzed and blesses her. And then he says to everybody, you can visit her anytime you want. So you don't want to stand, you don't want to get in God's way. This is the most important thing to Jesus in the world, that we are now going to be sanctified. We're not, it's not about just being good and holy and saintly, what the saints have taught us, but now he wants us to share in divinity. He wants us to possess the true life of Jesus and Mary. That's what Luisa possessed. And what our God is asking, he's asking us, are you ready to do this? And what we have to say, like Our Lady, Fia, when the angel said, you're going to be the mother of God, she says, how can this be? I mean, what do I need to do to begin to live this abundant life? I've already made a vow of virginity. I'm not going to know man. How can I become the mother? What do I need to do? And our God spoke to the angel and said to the angel, it will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And she said, fiat mihi, let it be done as you say. It's the same thing for the divine will. God did 100% of the work. She just said, yes. Now Jesus is saying to us, I want you to share in divinity. And we're going, how, how am I going to do that? You say, be perfected as your heavenly Father is perfect. How can I do that? I'm a miserable human being and I go to confession each week. How can I be freed of my human will? And God says, it will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. This second Pentecost that's coming, this illumination of conscience that's coming, is all about the divine will. If you want to be ready for the illumination of conscience, read the book of heaven. Go through the book of heaven. In a year from now, if you read every day, if you read the calendar every day, a year from now, if the illumination happens, you're going to be ready, because he's going to expand our capacity to enter into this gift of gifts. What is it? A living sign of supernatural charity and obedient celibacy. This is for the priests. Simplicity with respect for discipline in the communion of the church. The church is going to be the beautiful bride of Christ without stain, without wrinkle. That's what God is doing right now. The purification of the church is happening. The purification of the world is happening. And we have to get ready. We have to see what God is doing. It's not by chance that all of this is happening in the world of the church. And at the same time, God gives us the book of heaven. You know, it's what did Our Lady say to Father Gobi in 1997? Everything's complete. Everything's done. What's done? What's complete? The book of heaven was given to the church. And those that have it, and you have it, God says, if you have the book of heaven, basically, I myself gave it to you. I myself, Jesus said, planned for you to have this book. Because he says, I know what you're going to do. I know what I have planned. I've written your life in the book of heaven. I know what I have planned for you, and your fiat is going to get you there. And that's all that Jesus is asking. He's asking us to begin to live this abundant life. He's asking us to embrace this gift of gifts, to read, to study, to learn how to pray the rounds. Go to luisapicaretta.me, download the rounds for Christmas. Learn. It's a very simple, beautiful way of learning how to pray the rounds for Christmas, pray the rounds for ordinary time, pray the rounds for Lent, pray the rounds for Easter and Pentecost. As you enter into this, the whole church becomes alive. So I end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name. Honor the mantle of Mary through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.